Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
Friday afternoon, that means it's film time, and we've swapped a commode for a king.
Hello.
Don't be shy.
I'm sorry, I was just making my final notes for the witty and incisive film reviews that are coming.
Just scripting your ad-libs, are you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. And I think what we should probably do is run through the box office top 10, maybe, and then we should definitely talk to the person who's got one of the new releases out this week, who's with me in the studio, who is Sally Potter. Hello, Sally.
Hello.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Are you a familiar listener to this part of the afternoon?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, excellent. So you know the form. And James will do the Mark Kermode pithy one-liners now, and if there's any of these films you've seen and you wish to chip in, then feel free.
All right.
Okay, box office top 10, then. At 10, Kicking and Screaming.
I really like Will Ferrell as a comedian, but he can do so much better than this. This is a sellout for him.
Sally, seen it?
No.
Okay. At 9, Batman Begins.
It's dark and it's moody, which is very, very good. I did think it got a little bit boring in parts, though.
You seen it?
No.
Hey, don't bother, it's Bobbins. At 8, The Descent.
And The Descent. Oh, I've never felt so claustrophobic in a movie. If you want to feel scared in a film, The Descent does it. I had to keep looking at the door. It's over there, I can get out, it's fine.
You seen this?
No, I'm beginning to wonder if I ever go to the movies.
This is, you've been busy making one, so, you know.
True, very true.
You've been busy making a very clever one as well. So it takes a bit longer, I think. I do fancy that, actually. Potholing, isn't it, The Descent?
It is, yes.
Okay, at 7, Dark Water.
The Japanese version of Dark Water is much better, actually. This one with Jennifer Connelly is not bad, but the original version from Japan is a very, very good horror movie.
Sal?
No, but I like Walter Salles. He directed it, right?
He did direct it, yes.
He's good.
Yes.
6, The Skeleton Key.
Which is pretty good, Kate Hudson.
And we had Ian Softley on this programme.
Nope. Don't bother to ask anymore.
No, I think it's fun. 5, War of the Worlds.
Which I actually liked. The more people I speak to seem to have a go at this movie and say that how much they hated the ending, thought it was a real cop-out. I really like just the way that Spielberg involves his audience. It's cheesy and it's mainstream, but he does do that better than anyone else.
Any thoughts on War of the Worlds?
I'm heading towards 0 out of 10 in terms of having seen this.
4, The Wedding Crashers.
I don't reckon you've seen this one, have you?
I haven't.
Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson just glide through this. I mean, it's all about their chemistry. The script and the actual plot is all over the place, but the chemistry between those two people, who are friends in real life, makes it work.
3, The Fantastic Four.
It's the comic book movie for under 10s. It's not that great, really.
It's all right. Passed a Sunday afternoon when it was raining.
Yeah.
No.
2, Madagascar.
Which is pretty good. It's really the only animated movie out there for kids at the moment, so that's probably part of the reason why it's doing so well, because it's not that brilliant, but it's okay.
Fantastic Psychotic Penguins.
Yeah.
No, it's beginning to sound like no is my favourite word. I assure you it's not.
No. Well, especially because the film's called...
Yes.
You see what we've done there, eh? Are you having that? Hey, come on. And at 1, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
That's what I was scripting, you see, before. Charlie and Chocolate Factory, yeah, which I think is great. Yeah, it's annoying that there's a few Americanizations in there, which I think really jarred. Yeah, I don't want Charlie Bucket talking about buying things in dollars. It just didn't really work for me. But I think on the whole, Tim Burton has created a very, very good film.
Okay, that's the UK box office top 10.
You didn't ask Sally about that one.
Oh, yeah, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Not yet.
But you intend to.
I will.
Ah, okay. Did you read the book as a little girl?
No.
Oh, so you'll come to it fresh.
Fresh
You've
as a daisy.
Not seen the Gene Wilder one, which everyone loved?
No.
Do you know the plot?
I do watch films sometimes. I promise.
I'm sorry about James. He's a tad rude sometimes. Sorry about that.
I meant the plot of Charlie and Chocolate Factory, not the plot of life in general.
Right, OK. I was seeing, right, yeah. I was lost there. I thought you'd completely blindsided Sally.
No, no.
I'll catch up in due course.
So James will stay with us. We'll take a look at the week's new releases, comprising of which is a film called Yes, which is made by the writer-director Sally Potter, who you've heard from already. Tell us about Yes.
It's a love affair between a Middle Eastern man and an American woman in which they learn to deal with conflict without killing each other. It's a good way.
And the reason this has grabbed a lot of headlines is because it's written in iambic pentameter.
I think it's a mixture, actually, of the politics, the fact that it seems so written as if it was written yesterday or tomorrow, and the verse, which is something of a first, I think, for a film to be written in the present day. It's entirely in verse. It rhymes, although many people, when they first saw the film, didn't notice at all because the actors deliver it as if this was the way we all spoke all the time, which I think is a compliment to how they've done it.
I sat down last night and I tried to script an interview in iambic pentameter.
How did you get on?
No, I had to kick it in after about half an hour, to be honest. I had no intention.
Oh, but there's a secret poet in the heart of each and every one of us.
Yeah, I'm all right with small poems. Normally on birthday cards. That's about my limit.
How about songwriting?
No, never.
That's poems.
Yeah, that's true.
People forget. It's the youngest form and the oldest form. You know, the pop song is a form of poetry, and so were the very earliest Greek tragedies. And
so have you song written as well?
I have, yeah.
And have they come to fruition? Have we heard them? Have they gained a wider audience?
Well, it depends which kind of CDs you buy.
Yours?
I used to be something of an improvising lyricist with new music improvising bands around Europe. You won't have heard those CDs, I'm sure. But some others. I sang, in fact, on the last track of a previous film, The Tango Lesson, with the cellist Yo-Yo Ma. But this is a different kind of verse. It really is written in order that the people can say the things they need to say that would otherwise be very hard to say, I think, in normal, what we call normal conversational speech.
See, a lot of the headline writers have been quite lazy, haven't they? Because the headlines for all the reviews that I've read have been, I think, therefore, iambic.
I think that's quite funny.
It's a bit obvious, isn't it? I was thinking, what about Sally Potter and the Poet's Tome?
Well, it's better than a headline which says yes, no, maybe, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Have you had one of those?
No, I haven't. Fortunately, oh dear, I've given them one.
Oh, yeah. All the Sundays will be doing that now, won't they? You can see the typewriters go. Just remind us, because, I mean, English was sometimes torturous. Were there strict rules about an iambic pentameter? Are there certain...
It just means there's 10 syllables a line, really. I mean, there's different... People say it's a kind of walking rhythm or a breathing rhythm, but that's all it means. And in this case, it was 10 syllables a line, mostly, sometimes 8, sometimes 6, and with a rhyme at the end of every line. But if you've got a sentence with a rhyme in the middle of it, you don't necessarily hear the rhyme. You feel it a bit like a kind of beat, a heartbeat, somewhere hidden in the middle of it. Yeah.
But, I mean, that must have been painstaking to write.
No, it was easy.
Really?
It rattled off. Editing it was hard because it was usually too much and too long.
Right.
And taking out any rhymes that seemed forced and so on. But it came out in a kind of flow, and that's what it was supposed to be, like a flow of thought.
James.
What do you think you can say in verse in a movie that you can't say in normal dialogue? Because obviously you decided on this for a reason. What was the reason that you can express?
Or for a rhyme rather than reason.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
But I think it's something about being able to zap between different kind of levels and layers. You can talk in verse or in a poem. You can talk about God and dirt and metaphysics and love and sex and war, all quickly, one idea flowing from one to the other, in a way that we don't normally do when we're trying to make sentences and paragraphs in everyday speech. We don't always talk about the things that we really deeply feel and deeply believe about either. Like, do you believe in God? It's not normal conversation.
Yeah.
But in the context of a kind of flow of verse, it's something you can bring up and have to bring up in the current atmosphere where we're dealing with, for the first time in a long time, with really urgent questions about belief and faith. You know, the big clash of fundamentalisms we seem to be struggling with right now.
So with that in mind, would you say it was more a love story or a political movie?
It's a love story, but politics creeps in, because politics creeps into everything, including love affairs, but perhaps especially if it's a love affair between a lovable Middle Eastern man and a lovely American woman.
When did you actually write it?
Immediately after the events of 9/11 2001, I picked up my pen the next day and thought, I've got to do something constructive in this atmosphere of hate. What can I do as a filmmaker? I can write a fiction, a love story, out of what has become this kind of global hate story.
So it's taken 4 years to come to cinematic fruition.
Well, I actually finished it nearly a year ago, but it takes then a year to kind of come onto the screens, and I've been travelling around the world with it, going to festivals and watching it subtitled into different languages and talking to audiences and listening to audiences.
What kind of problems have you had getting a distribution deal with it?
Not too much. It was hard to finance in the first place because it seemed like a weird idea. But in fact, once it was finished, it's now been sold to 61 countries and it will be opening really pretty much around the world.
James King, you've seen it.
I have. Yeah, I wanted to ask about the subtitles.
Yeah.
How does that work if you've got a rhyming script in English and then it's subtitled into other languages for other countries?
Well, of course, that doesn't apply here or in the United States or in any other English-speaking territory, but when they do subtitle it, they have to distill it a little bit because it takes longer to read something than to hear it. And I think some of the translators were a bit nervous about that. But I've watched it with an audience in Turkey, seeing it in Turkish. I've watched it in German. I've watched it in Spanish, in Mexico, and in Cuba. And they laugh in the same places. They cry in the same places. It doesn't seem to be a big impediment.
one of the first people you see in the movie is one of my favourite actresses. I was so pleased to see her in this, Shirley Henderson, who people will recognise from Harry Potter films. I think she was in those.
Yes.
Sorry?
Intermission.
Intermission,
Once Upon a Time in the Midlands.
Once Upon a Time in the Midlands.
People, yeah,
great actress. Mm. Tell me about her role in the film, because she does bookend the whole thing, doesn't she?
Yeah, she plays the role of a cleaner. And she is the sort of the one who nobody notices, but she notices everything. She sees the lot and she comments on it, rather in the way that in Greek dramas, you know, the chorus would comment on the action that was going on stage and talk directly to the audience. And she talks directly to us about what's going on. And it turns out that she's the kind of secret philosopher and scientist of the piece, really. She may be cleaning dirt, but she's wondering about molecules and wondering about what's hidden in those sofas that's smaller than small. And she's thinking about the biggest of the big two, whether she believes in God and what's holding it all together.
Your verdict, James, is a review?
Well, if it's Shirley Henderson's in it, I immediately like it, because she, I think what was so great about her being there at the beginning is that because she has a very warm personality, I think, on screen, she can draw you into it really well. And presumably that's part of the point of you putting her in there. But she can draw you into the actions. She does have this real very close relationship with me as a viewer, with any viewer, I presume. When you're watching it, it feels like she's speaking directly to you.
Yes.
Again, probably part of the point.
Yeah, it was.
Excellent. So you liked it?
Yes. Sorry, oh no, I can't say that. That sounds like
a
gag.
You can.
It's called Yes.
And is this going on? You've amused Sally. They tickled a pink.
It's like that competition where you're not allowed to say yes, no, or maybe.
Yeah.
Affirmative. I did.
It's a good job I'm not Bruno Brooks. You'd be rubbish at that, isn't it? Is this widespread now, released today, is it?
It's opening on 5 screens today in London, and then it will go wider. And I'm doing a Q&A tonight, actually, for the early evening screening at the Curzon Mayfair in London.
And what about if people don't live in that London?
It'll be opening in regional cinema soon.
Good. And it's been lovely talking to you.
Thank you. It's been good to be here.
Sally Potter there. Thank you very much for coming in. Sally's film is, well, it's out in that London today, but then you'll be able to see it elsewhere in hopefully in a couple of weeks, maybe.
Hope so.
Yeah. And it's called Yes. And Jane King liked it. Shirley Henderson's in it. What more do you need to know? Phil Williams here on 5 Live with James King. And there's a text message for you, James. We're talking movies. And anonymous text says, has Johnny Depp's portrayal of Willy Wonka interfered with your appreciation of Terry Hatcher?
Sorry? Because he's meant to look like Terry Hatcher.
This is some kind of hair reference, I think.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I didn't particularly appreciate Terry Hatcher anyway, but I can see what you're saying. I thought more Michael Jackson, but that's the voice rather than the haircut.
I wondered if you'd gone on the record previously, unbeknownst to me.
No, maybe that's Kermode. Maybe he's getting confused. I don't think so. I didn't understand any of that cricket talk. What does seam up filth mean?
Seam up filth is like a medium pace kind of short dug-in delivery, which means...
Yeah, again, you're losing me.
Right.
Okay. Maybe.
It means he doesn't bowl very fast. Okay. It bounces up to about the ribs, and the idea is it's meant to hurt the batsman and force him to a difficult shot. But if you don't get it right, you get slapped for 4. Does that make any more sense?
Slapped for 4.
4 runs.
Right. Okay.
You're not cricket, not your thing.
Well, I did do it at school for about 4 years, but you know there are some sports you can play at school and just never actually understand what you're doing.
You know, there's all this wife swap, job swap going on Channel 4. I think the best thing in the world would be if we swapped your job with Pat Murphy. We'll get Pat to do the movies 1 week.
Yeah.
And you can go and do the cricket with Graham Gooch.
Okay.
You bang up for that.
I've heard of him. Yeah, I could do that.
I'll pass it on.
Yeah.
Stealth is out this week. It's one of the new releases of the week. It's the new offering from Jamie Foxx. Explain.
Well, if you don't want iambic pentameter this weekend, you might want just a meathead action movie. Stealth is the one for you. It's made by the guy who did Triple X and The Fast and the Furious. He's not the most subtle of film directors. He's called Rob Cohen. And this one's about naval fighter pilots who get given a new colleague. And their colleague is actually a computer, a fully computerized, robotic stealth jet. Doesn't need a pilot. This apparently is the future of warfare. The actual pilots aren't too happy because it's getting rid of the human element, but it's there. Problem is, this plane blows a microchip, goes a bit crazy, and starts attacking everyone. The movie is called Stealth. Lots of action, if you want that. Lots of stunts, lots of very good-looking people getting their bodies out. Now, I know that's not a deep thing, but don't underestimate how far that can take a movie. Top Gun went a long way on that kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is trying for more of the
same. Sometimes, after a hard week at work, all you want is shallow.
This is trying for the same kind of thing as Top Gun, Top Gun 2005. The eye candy in this case, you've got Josh Lucas out of Sweet Home Alabama, you've got Jessica Biel out of Blade Trinity, and, as you said, Jamie Foxx, Oscar winner Jamie Foxx. One of the main problems with Stealth is that Jamie Foxx isn't in it enough.
Right.
And he obviously made this before he became an Oscar winner, before Collateral became a huge movie. And you can tell he was doing it much more as a supporting actor. Now he wouldn't do that kind of thing. In fact, now he's doing Miami Vice with Colin Farrell, which is going to be the greatest movie ever made. But he's not in it that much. When he is, he's fine, but we need more of Jamie. It's also incredibly stupid. It is trying to have a message. It's trying to say about how dangerous it is for the military to get too high tech. The director, Rob Cohen, will say, you know, he thinks he's made Dr. Strangelove. He thinks he's made some great anti-military, anti-American movie. You don't really believe that when you see the film. It's much more about the action. If you can forget the message, the confused message, just go for the action, go for the pretty people. It is quite entertaining, but it is a stupid meathead movie. But that's not always a bad thing, you know.
No, exactly. Something you need it on a Friday, but it sounds like it might be lacking a couple of elements. I know that you have to take your hat off to Mr. James King, because he's worked out at a very early stage in his life what he's good at, what he's not good at, and what brings you a nice time. And right. He knows he's good at watching films, he knows he's not very good at cricket, and what brings him a nice time is going to Miami to interview Mr. Jamie Foxx.
Oh, yeah, of course, I forgot to mention that. How did you know about that?
I've got spies.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx is a really nice guy as well. And, you know, he's happy to talk up this movie. But ultimately...
I'm not interested in stealth. If you've been to Miami to do Jamie Foxx, I want to know about Miami Vice.
Miami Vice, okay. Well, I interviewed Jamie Foxx, and he obviously had a day off to do interviews and to talk about this movie, Stealth. But the next day, he was going back to filming Miami Vice with Colin Farrell. And I said to him, so, filming tomorrow, Michael Mann is the director. He created Miami Vice on the telly. Now he's directing the movie. What are you doing tomorrow, Jamie? And he said, just going up and down the river, blowing things up. As I said, it's going to be the greatest movie of next year.
I've just bought the season one box set, the Miami Vice box set.
Well, it's not going to be tongue-in-cheek, and this is another good thing about Miami Vice. They are doing it for Miami 2005, 2006, so it's contemporary. It's not like Starsky and Hutch, where they send it up, or Charlie's Angels. It is going to be a serious cop movie dealing with issues in Miami that are contemporary now, rather than the scene in the early 80s.
Which, you know, is the thing that concerns me about Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen anything of that?
I've just seen lots of clips. I haven't seen the whole thing stuck together. I hear it's kind of... carry on Dukes of Hazzard. I think there's relying a lot on the fact that Jessica Simpson doesn't wear very many clothes, and there's lots of innuendos in it. Don't recall those in the original TV show, but they've changed it for the movie. Out in a couple of weeks.
Someone's texted you about Stealth, and they've put, if Rob Cohen did The Fast and the Furious and XXX, then clearly he doesn't direct in a subtle way.
Absolutely not. And Rob Cohen is, if you meet him, the man looks like he's an extreme sports nut, and he shouts at you, "Hey, I'm Rob Cohen, everybody, and I directed Stealth." You know, he's not Mr. Sensitive, and you watch the films, and you can absolutely see that.
Okay, that's James's verdict on Stealth, the new Jamie Foxx movie. Also out this week, the new Herbie movie.
Yeah, this is perfect for the holidays. It's not a great film, but it's a good family film. First Herbie was in the late 60s, The Love Bug, obviously about the VW Beetle with a life of his own. We then had Herbie Rides Again, Herbie Goes Bananas, Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo. But those were quite a long time ago. There's been a TV movie since, but nothing this big. In Fully Loaded, Lindsay Lohan plays the daughter of a racing car driver, Michael Keaton, and he buys her this battered old car as a present for her graduation. Little do they realise that battered old car, who do you reckon it is, Phil? Do you reckon it could be Herbie? It's been standing in a junkyard for many years, rusting up. Yes, Michael Keaton buys his daughter Herbie, and they realise that Herbie is still magical and they can still go and win loads of races. This is Herbie. The movie is Herbie Fully Loaded. You heard Lindsay Lohan, Michael Keaton and Matt Dillon also star in Herbie Fully Loaded. Phil, do you want to know about it now?
No, I think what we'll do is we'll delay your verdict. What I do want to say is that it's important that this is good for my heritage, my own personal heritage, because I think one of the first films we went to see was Herbie Goes Bananas.
Yeah, me too as well. So, yeah. All right, I'll keep Sturm until after the travel.
Okay, we'll get the verdicts on Herbie Fully Loaded after Joe's travel, 3:44. James King's here, and we are discussing the week's film releases, and he's decided that Stealth is okay if you fancy a bit of a no-brain action movie. And we just heard a clip of Herbie Fully Loaded, and his verdict is...
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the one for the families, really. On the good side, it hasn't been ruined. The franchise that you love, Phil, when you were younger, it hasn't been ruined. It's pretty much the same kind of thing, really. I thought it would be much more high-tech and CGI'd than it is. It's actually very similar to those original Herbie movies. Same gags, same stunts. On the downside... nearly everyone in the movie does seem a bit embarrassed to be doing it. Lindsay Lohan, who has done family films and kids' movies...
And she's the hot thing at the moment, isn't she?
She is the hot thing, although she's rapidly losing that status by being apparently a bit of a diva on the circuit. And if you've seen pictures of her recently, in Herbie Fully Loaded, she looks like she has done for the last 5 or 6 years, and she's kind of curvy with red hair. Now, in real life, she's incredibly skinny with blonde hair. And you watch her in Herbie, and it's like, well, this woman doesn't even exist anymore. Who is it I'm watching? She looks like she'd prefer to be out clubbing, to be honest. Michael Keaton playing a dad looks like he's just thinking, well, you know, I remember when I could lead a movie. Now I'm second fiddle. I'm third fiddle to a car. What's going on? Matt Dillon, the same kind of thing. He's the bad guy in the film. But they give it their all. They're having a bit of fun. It's a bit of pantomime work for them. So it is bright and it's breezy and it's fluffy. And if you're under 10, and there are a lot of kids watching it when I went to see it, they enjoyed it. And that is really who it's aiming at. And if you like those originals, you won't be that offended.
Mm. So... I think we'd have probably been about 10 when we saw the originals
ish,
of that age.
Yeah, ish.
So it's okay if you've got young kids.
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what it's all about. Don't expect anything more.
It's not a great date movie if you want to reminisce with a girl the same age as you.
No, don't. It's for under 10s, really, and it does the job for under 10s. Herbie Fully Loaded.
Pete's been on in Essex. Pete says he saw Stealth last night. It must have been a Thursday night advance screening.
Yep.
And he says, awful, awful, awful.
Okay, fair enough. Well, as your sports reporter earlier said, Chacor à son goût.
Do believe it's a bold day for everybody concerned when you're able to quote Pat Murphy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ad infinitum. So just to recap where we are, then at 3:53, we've said that Stealth, all right, bit of a good action film. Herbie, you're saying, okay, under 10s.
Yeah, good for the family film.
And then we've yet to approach Devil's Rejects. Is that right? That's the next one.
Absolutely. There is something for everyone this week, really, because Devil's Rejects is the sick horror film of the week. It's a sequel to a horror film from a couple of years ago called House of a Thousand Corpses.
Okay, well, tell us more in a moment.
Yep, okay.
Okay. It's Phil Williams here with James King. We're running through the week's movie releases for you. You've already heard from Sally Potter and her new film, Yes, which is out in London today and will get a wider national release in a couple of weeks or so. Then you heard about Stealth, the new Jamie Foxx movie, all right if you want some no-brain action. Herbie Fully Loaded, which is all right if you have under 10s in your house. And now we move on to Devil's Rejects.
Yeah, this is sick, but in a good way. House of a Thousand Corpses was the first movie that director Rob Zombie made. Now he's followed that up, and it's about the same people. This family called the Firefly family, who are really incredibly disturbing and are into satanic worship and dodgy sex, and they all look like circus freaks. And in that first movie, they tortured a load of teenagers. It wasn't a great movie, but it was brutal. This is even more brutal, The Devil's Rejects. In this one, the Firefly family are on the run from the police. And of course, whilst they're on the run throughout Texas, they're kidnapping and slicing up along the way. It's sick, it's horrible, and it's called The Devil's Rejects.
So we get the idea.
Yeah. You said you'd seen like a poster or a trailer for this and you thought...
It looked bang average to be best.
Well, the thing is, why it works and why it's also going to offend a lot of people and why a lot of people will hate it is because it is so un-PC and it's so sick and grim and dirty and offensive and very, very grubby. Now, obviously, if you're not into horror films, that's an immediate sign to stay a long way away.
Right.
It's not a crossover horror film in the way that something like The Ring would be. It's really a film for absolute... horror splatter fans. On the plus side, if you are going to make a horror movie, I do think you might as well make it as horrible as possible. That's why they're called horror films. Make it sick. That's a good thing. And the director is a guy called Rob Zombie, who's also a musician as well. And he does have a feel for the really grim and this kind of redneck Midwest America and the freaks that you'll find there. You watch this and you do think it's a bit more like a, as I said, a circus freak show than actually watching a film. It's like the people you get on Jerry Springer, but then worse, but then multiplied by about 10. And he really does capture that Texan wasteland feel very well.
So is this kind of a narrow market that's going to
absolutely.
Enjoy this?
It's a market completely for cult splatter horror movie fans.
Right.
And House of a Thousand Corpses, which was the first film, did have that following. Rob Zombie has made a better film as the sequel, but it's not going to go any wider. But those fans will still really, really like it.
Simon from Whaley Bridge says, I love James's impression of that film director, Rob Cohen. Tell me, when did Fozzie Bear start directing? So what we're saying then is that Stealth is all right if you want some mindless kind of action. Herbie's
yes.
All right if you've got kids. Devil's Rejects only if you like horror. So really, if you're going to see one film this weekend, what would you advise? It's got to be something from the top 10, really.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I'd say still go and see Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It only came out last week. It's still very, very new and it's still very, very good. This week, we're looking at more niche markets, really.
James, as always, a pleasure. Are you around next Friday?
Don't know, actually. Let me ask anyone.
He's not been booked.
No one seems to know. They're raising their arms up. They don't
James
know.
King may or may not return. Mark Kermode may return. There may be someone entirely different. But one thing's for sure, I'll be here. And I'll be here on Monday to talk to you from 1 o'clock, where my guest will be Sean Bean, who's in this new film, The Island, with Scarlett Johansson and Ewan McGregor. I'm off to see that now, so I'll let you know what it's like on Monday. And we'll also be joined by the Mercury Music nominee, Seth Lakeman. Drives Neck with Peter and Asthma. Have yourself a great weekend. Catch you on Monday.